On the night the regiment reached Winchester, there seemed to be a mistake about going into camp.
Halt!
The brigade would halt and then start,
forward,
possibly making a mile and then halt again.
Double quick, man.
This movement would be repeated over and over again.
Halt!
A laughable incident was noticed while the occurrences was taking place. A soldier by the name of Jemison,
forward,
was a cook for Captain Howell's headquarters. He had succeeded in getting quite a supply of fence boards to start his campfires,
halt,
with. It was considerable of the load, and after a third order had been given,
forward,
he drew them down in disgust and swore he would carry them no longer when,
halt,
was sounded. He went back and got them again. No sooner had,
forward,
been ordered again, when down he threw them, and for several minutes the volume of epithets that poured forth would not have been suitable for the uplift of Christianity. During a long halt, the men took off their packs and sat on them to rest. David took out one of his pencils and began to take notes. No date was entered into his diary.
My shoes have become literally worn out, the bare skin being exposed. During the march of the first day, we passed through grain fields. In one of them, the grain had been cut and removed, and the ground was what the farmer calls a stubble field. I, with my exposed feet, ran ahead of the rest of the men, like as if the rebels were close at my heels. Figuratively speaking, I saw stars in broad daylight.
The order,
forward, double quick, men,
came, and David put the book back in his haversack, but before he could fall in line, the order came again to
halt.
Along with the other men, he sat down again and continued to write down his thoughts. No date was entered into his diary.
By the power appointed to me by God to watch over the interests of my family at home and to sustain the army in the field, both by marching with men forward and by protecting those from the slanders of traitors and the lying tongues of misnamed friends, I take the liberty of giving a truthful account of the doings of the 153rd Regiment, Pennsylvania Volunteers.
On the march to Gettysburg, Comrade King was attacked with typhoid fever, and with many other sick men, they were advised to go home. Though still weak from his illness, King started for his home, and on the way in the darkness was overtaken by a man on horseback. He was a farmer who happened to be a neighbor of David's parents. On speaking to him, to his great joy, he learned that this man was Charles Long. Mr. Long instantly dismounted and placed the soldier in the saddle and accompanied him to his home. The joy of the family was indescribable, and all sleep was suspended for the entire night. Typhoid fever is an intestinal infection that is spread by ingesting food or water contaminated with the bacteria Salmonella typhus. Such contamination was usually widespread in army camps and caused huge epidemics. During the Civil War, there was 75,418 cases in the Union Army, and 27,058 of them died. Far more soldiers died of typhoid or dysentery than of battle wounds. An entry into David's diary said,
15th of June, 1863. I bought a pair of woolen socks from one of my comrades for 50 cents on credit, for we had no money. I do not remember now whether I ever paid for them, but I promised to do so, and that is good enough for these days. By the time I got my feet fixed up, the bugle called for us to get up and travel. I started with the regiment and kept up for some time, but I had to frequently stop to fix up my feet. By the operation on their bottoms and under these circumstances, got away to the rear of my regiment into the wagon train.
Over half the men were barefooted and many were lame and were sent to the rear. Others of sterner stuff hobbled along and managed to keep up while gangs from every company went off in the surrounding country looking for food. Many became ill from exposure and starvation and were left on the road. The ambulances were full, and the whole route was marked with a sick, lame, limping lot that straggled along. By degrees, David caught up with his regiment about a mile before it reached camp. The company was on the Cedar Run when he came up, and all the men gave out three loud cheers as they always did on his late arrivals. And the men sang,
"Well, he's a jolly good fellow,"
as they approached their destination. The company was just starting when a big fellow by the name of Benjamin Mann and another man dropped in the road with sunstroke. They both were carried out under a shade tree and the doctor called. But before he made it there, the other man died. No one could identify him, and he carried no papers that would tell them who he was. He was left right where he fell beside the road as another unknown soldier. Benjamin was with the regiment again for a few days, but later he was killed at Gettysburg. The columns made 30 miles this day. It was on a wager with the 2nd Brigade. Brigadier von Gilsa had put up $300 that the 1st Brigade could outmarch the 2nd. An incident happened on the march. The company came to a well which had an old-fashioned oaken bucket and windlass. The crowd around the well was about 2 rods deep, and every man was as dry as harvest hands. David worked his way up through the crowd and came behind a big fellow by the name of Wolf, who belonged to Company D. He looked over his shoulder and said to him,
"You hang on to me, Davy."
With his tin cup in hand, he got a hold of Wolf and held on to his waist with both arms. Wolf got hold of the bucket as soon as he could reach it. Three men on the other side of the well got hold of it at the same time Wolf did.
Give it to me.
He got the bucket, and two of the men on the other side came very near falling into the well. David's tin cup now was full of dust, but it was the first one in the bucket. Now to get the tin out of the bucket full of water was quite another thing. All that could crowded their tins on top, and by the time he got his out, it was only a half cup full of dust and water. The bucket had fallen to the bottom of the well, so the boys went marching on. David and Wolf did not get a drop of water for their trouble. The 1st Brigade was in camp about 1 hour before the 2nd arrived. The General Gilsa made a fine little speech to the men, congratulating them on their fine marching qualities and thanking them for making the distance in the short time and beating the 2nd Brigade. The pencil was put to paper as David wrote in his diary.
15th of June, 1863. After supper, coffee, and heart attack, I went down 100 yards through a nice meadow to take a bath. I thought I would return to camp in my bare feet, but I could not walk. So I got down on my hands and crawled back to camp. 16th of June, 1863. Reveille sounded at about 5 o'clock. After breakfast of coffee and hardtack, a rumor came through the camp that this was Sunday and that it would conflict with General Howard's religious principles to march on Sunday. I, for one, was wishing that the general's religious spell would last all day. But by 10 o'clock a.m., the bugle sounded, calling us to get ready to march.